Chapter 3. The shock of it stopped all thinking and feeling. The next thing I remember is walking back with Betteridge, and then his little sitting room. In the state I was in, the old man was an enormous comfort to me. "I have absolutely no knowledge of taking the diamond," I told him. "The very idea of my taking it is ridiculous. But here are the facts. My nightgown. The paint on it." "I smell something suspicious, sir," said Betteridge, pouring me another whiskey. "Was there anything else in the case?" I was instantly reminded of the letter. I opened it. There were many pages, signed at the end by Rosanna Spearman. "Wait," I said. "How do we know she didn't steal the diamond? She may have smeared the nightgown deliberately." Courage put his hand on my arm. "In justice to the girl's matter, see what the letter says. This is it said. Sir, I'll be dead when you read this, but I have a confession to make. I love you. Why did I hide your nightgown with the paint on it? Why did I say nothing to you about it? Because I loved you. Do you remember when you met us on the beach that morning? You came to me like a lover in a dream. From that moment on, I loved you more and more each minute, completely forgetting who I was, only a servant, not a lady. I believe I found out you were in love with Miss Rachel before you knew it yourself. Would you have loved her if she was a servant? The morning the diamond disappeared, after Seagrave pointed out the smear on the door and said someone's dress had done it, he sent us all back to our work. After I had left Miss Rachel's room, Penelope saw me looking to see if I had any paint on my dress, and told me not to bother. The paint had been dry for hours, she said. She had heard Mr. Franklin tell Miss Rachel that it would take 12 hours to dry. They had finished the door at 3 p.m. Therefore, it had dried around 3 that morning. It was my job, sir, to clean your room. It was the happiest hour of the day for me. I used to kiss your pillow. I beg your pardon, I'm forgetting myself. Well, that morning I saw the smear of paint on your nightgown. It was proof you had been in Miss Rachel's sitting room between midnight and 3 that morning. I was so shocked I ran to my room with it. At the time, I never even thought you might have taken the diamond. I decided to keep the nightgown and wait and watch to see what use I might make of it. But how could I keep it without risking being found out? The only way was to make another one, exactly the same. I had just finished your room when I was called to be questioned by Seagrave. Next, all the servants' wardrobes were searched. Later, after Penelope was questioned a second time, she came back to the kitchen boiling with anger. According to her, Seagrave suspected her because she was the last person in Miss Rachel's sitting room that night. I knew you had been there later. My head began to spin when I realized you were the thief. Deliberately, you had been the most active the next day, organizing the search, fetching the police, just to deceive us. I believed you were guilty because I wanted you to be guilty. It gave me power over you, power to destroy you in Rachel's eyes. I had the nightgown that was the only proof against you. But you would miss it. I needed cloth to make the new one, so after lunch, I pretended to feel ill. Sergeant Cuff, I know, discovered later that I was not in my room all that afternoon, but others already suspected me. That night, as I was working in secret, I heard 2 servants whispering outside my door. There was a knock on the door. "Come in," Betteridge shouted. One of the strangest-looking men I've ever seen entered. judging by his figure and movements. He was still young, but his face told another story. He might have been older than Betteridge. His skin was coffee-coloured, his nose like those of the ancient peoples of the East. Dark, dreamy eyes, hollow, fleshless cheeks, added to his odd appearance. But it was his hair which was the most remarkable. Originally dark and curly, it had gone white, in the most extraordinary manner, in stripes, here and there, like spilt paint. Seeing me staring stupidly at him, he said, "I beg your pardon," and handed a piece of paper to Betteridge. His eyes rested on me again, and he left the room as quietly as he had entered. "Who was that?" I asked.
"Ezra Jennings, Dr. Candy's assistant," replied Betteridge. "Poor Dr. Candy never recovered from his illness, I'm afraid. He lost his memory. Jennings takes care of the few patients he has left. Poor people, mostly."
"You don't seem to like him," I remarked.
"Nobody does, sir. Because of his appearance, I suppose. And the colour of his skin. Oh, he's a quiet man, keeps himself to himself. He came with the list of the sick. Miss Rachel has carried on her mother's tradition of taking wine to the poor people who are sick."
I began reading again. "I knew Sergeant Cuff would want to examine our clothes. There was nowhere in my room where I could hide the nightgown, so I undressed and put it on under my dress. I was asked to take the washing book to Sergeant Cuff. He and I had already met more than once, but he treated me as if I was a stranger. I knew this was a bad sign. Afterwards, as it was time for your return from taking Mr. Ablewhite to the station, I went to your favourite walk near the Rose Garden. It was the last chance, perhaps, that I might have to speak to you. You never appeared. And worse, Sergeant Cuff saw me hiding there. Why didn't I go and see you later? Why didn't I go and say, 'I have something to say to you, Mr. Franklin. You must listen.' I could have done. I had such power over you. I had heard Mr. Betteridge talk about your debts. You were obviously going to pawn the diamond. I could have told you of a man in London who would have taken the jewel. Why didn't I speak to you? When I was a thief, I had taken much greater risks. What was I afraid of? You, Mr. Franklin. In my dreams, I loved you with all my heart. Before your face, I was afraid of you. Everyone was questioned by Sergeant Cuff. My bitterest enemies, the cook and Lady Verinder's maid, went in before me. He was very careful to hide it, but I knew that after speaking to them, he suspected me of making a new nightgown secretly, and therefore of being involved in the disappearance of the diamond. The great Cuff was miles from the truth. You were safe, as long as the nightgown was safe. If I had been less fond of you, I would have destroyed it. But I couldn't. It was the only thing that could prove to you that I had saved you. It was your debt to me. After the interview, I said I was feeling ill and needed some fresh air. I went straight to the Yolland's house. Here I am now, writing. When I have finished, I shall go to the Shivering Sand, hide the nightgown, and then, what then? I will leave this cruel world that has refused me the happiness it gives so easily to others. Don't blame yourself for this, sir, but try, please try, to remember me kindly. If you do, I believe my ghost will tremble with joy. I love you, sir. Rosanna Spearman.